The scripture this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. You can follow along on the screen or through the Pew Bible on page 1878. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who hear it begged for no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him, who warned them on earth? How much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire.
At this time, I want to call all of those in the skit to take your places, please.
After an auto accident involving a group from the Central Holy Ghost Church, send some Christians to the throne room where they will be held accountable for what they did and didn't do while on earth. But before they were allowed into the throne room, they first must wait in another room, a holding room. The newly arrived people are sitting in a holding room, talking about the accident and the surprise of finding themselves all together in this holding room. They begin to discuss why they have to wait in this place instead of immediately being shown into the throne room.
Phew, what in the world happened? Did you have to drive so fast, Tim? I sure never expected to end up here when I get up this morning. And why do we have to wait in this stupid room anyway?
Hey, don't blame Tim. We were all in a hurry to get home after spending most of the weekend at the leadership retreat. We wanted him to get us there as quick as possible.
Yeah, well, we were eager to get home, but I agree with Beth. Tim, what made you try to pass that truck on a curve? And you were driving fast, you know.
Hey, you guys, it really doesn't matter now, does it? I mean, we're here. We're on our way into heaven's golden shore. I can't wait to get in there. I've been thinking about that. Maybe I'll volunteer for the heavenly choir. I do sing pretty well, don't I?
Hey,
yeah, right.
You do, Forey. That's right. I agree with you. I've always thought I should be as useful as maybe a pianist or a singer. I mean, all God has to do is ask, and I'm his man.
Yeah, well, I've taught Sunday school for 53 years.
I would take youth and teach Sunday school.
The lunches, every Sunday, the new recipes we tried, the dishes, children's time.
I always volunteered to drive the van.
Do you all realize why you are here in this room?
Not really.
Tim's driving.
And I'm, for one, am getting tired of not knowing what's going on. When do we get to get the initial meeting with God over with so we can get into heaven and get down to business? And how come, if you're some sort of God's representative, aren't you dressed in some sort of white robe or something?
Beth, I don't think you should be so rude to him. After all, he seems like he's somebody important.
He does have nice pants on.
You will all get to meet with God soon. But I must tell you, each of you, that God and some of the others here are disappointed with each of you.
Me?
Why in the world would God be disappointed with us?
Yeah.
Look what we all did while we were members of our church.
I don't think you understand. How did you bring others to Christ? How did you treat people who were somewhat different than you?
Well, I saw that the kids had a teacher for Sunday school most of the time.
Yeah, and I cook for the community Tuesday luncheon and sometimes for the Wednesday bread.
Well, I would have sung in the church more if someone would have asked me.
Yes.
Well, I did take a VBS on the road and one time, and it was fun. We had two churches praying for a successful vacation Bible school at another church, and they needed help. And some of the kids and some of the parents, we all went up there and helped as much as we could, and God really blessed it. And 20 kids came to VBS up there. And the church only had 6 members to start with. I mean, it was awesome. God really blessed that.
Good, Tim.
That's closer to what I'm talking about. But what about the rest of you? What about visiting the sick, those in prison, bringing someone to church, or treating kindly the outcast of those you thought differently than you? What about taking the food to the people, or just spending time with the least of my children and allowing me to work through you?
Well, you know, sometimes things are dirty. You know, you have to scrape cat pee off of a floor. Who wants to do that?
Hospitals and funeral homes depress me. I never know what to say.
Yeah, me too.
I never know what to say. Christmas to sing to the inmates? I mean, the residents? Visiting, isn't that what the pastor's for? They don't really work like the rest of us, do they? So they have the time to do that stuff.
I mean, you surely don't mean I should have been going into people's houses when they're sick. I mean, I may have caught something.
Yeah, and going and visiting sick people, sometimes their houses smell like Rick's. And that, I mean, should I have done something like that?
And you surely don't mean that I was supposed to go talk about salvation or stuff like that. That can kind of turn people off, you know?
It's hard.
I'm just not comfortable around strangers.
My wife, she takes food to a lot of the shut-ins and everything. And after all, I've furnished the car and the gasoline and everything.
That's right, Corey, you did. Jeez.
I'm sorry. I tried to get through to them. I guess I just didn't do a very good job.
Not to worry, son. You did what you were sent to do. They have choices to make, and I think it's time I speak directly with each one of them now. My dear children, why have you made things so hard? Hard for you.
God, I am so very sorry. I sometimes am impatient with my children and get frustrated with my family on a day-to-day basis. But I've always loved you, and I've always tried to do your will. And I know I need help with that.
Bless you. You can sit down.
God, I'm sorry. I'm a whiner. I know it. I'll try to have a better attitude.
Okay. I'm sorry I don't visit the sick. I send cards, but maybe being there would be more important.
Yes.
God, I'm sorry for not tithing like I should.
Okay.
God, I'm sorry that I don't help out more around the church and doing things. People come to the building to praise you, and I'd like it to look great for them and for you, Lord.
And God, I'm sorry. I'm so selfish. Can you forgive me?
God, I'm sorry that I don't treat everybody equal.
God, I appreciate the help that you gave me when I was sick for about 3 years. And I owe you so much, and I would like to have another chance to get back and do something more in the church.
Are you all truly sorry that you didn't try to understand what it was I was calling you to do? Are you willing to make amends?
Yes.
Anything, God. We'll try to get a team here to do some work that needs done around here.
I know you would. You are so good at doing things. You are so good at doing things, and that is such an important ministry. But I want you to get to know me first. I want you to let go of past, we've always done it this way, and get to know who I am. And let me love you. That's why I created you, you know. So that we could have a relationship together. How about this? How about I send you back to Earth and let you do things my way? Let you make a difference for my kingdom and for others there. There is something you should know, though. When you go back, remember you've just been in an accident, and therefore some of you will experience some pretty intense pain, but you will all survive.
But God, how is that possible? We've been here for a real long time. I'm sure by now they pronounced us dead.
No. The time there has been just a few short moments. Rescue workers are beginning to arrive on the scene even as I speak. So are you all willing to go back, go through some pain and some rough times, and heed my call on your lives and help others to learn how to discern what I'm calling them to do?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. First, though, why don't you come with me into the throne room? I'll give you just a glimpse of what's in store for you.
You really mean it, God? Can we really do that and not be dead?
Don't you know by now that it gives me great pleasure to bring you joy and hope and encouragement? Don't you know that I love you? Come on with me. That skit was written after a discussion that was held last Sunday in my office after church, because we are committed to rethinking our relationship with Jesus Christ and therefore with God. And so I ask the people, are you willing then to get up and go through a skit or something to get that message across? You see, next Sunday, after our joint Sunday school, after our carry-in meal, we will have a time to vision, to do whatever, to talk about whatever it will take to be in the right relationship and rethink church. Now, I want to read to you from our gospel lesson this morning, and that's Luke chapter 13, starting with verse 10 through 17. Hear these words, not just up here, but hear these words. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. He is meaning Jesus. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But, there's always a but, isn't there? The leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath. We don't do it that way around here." Those are my words. But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years long, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The focus of that passage I just read emphasizes two things. Rule keeping at all costs, and we humans are good at that. We want to keep the rules because they're there for a reason and we need to just stick to it, right? Or the second focus is knowing and following Christ's example. Now, the woman in this Lucan text did not ask for healing. If you go back and read through that passage, she didn't come and ask for healing. But Jesus noticed her. Jesus noticed someone on the fringes that was hurting. He looked outside of his own space and he noticed, he saw someone on the fringes that had suffered for many, many years. And he went to her and he healed two things about this woman. First of all, it was socially unaccepted for her to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and be healed. So he healed her social standing in the community by going to her, accepting her, loving her, and healing her. And then, of course, he healed her physically. And he said, "Woman, you are released. You are free. You are free from your affliction." And then he gets the criticism from the Pharisees. And the Pharisees took a religious observance meant to remember and honor the liberation of people and used it to impose social control and oppression. Are you with me here? You see, the Pharisees were not at heart really bad people, but they were so focused on rules that they took the very means of grace and used it to control and oppress. How many times do we do that when someone disagrees with us, particularly in the church? When we come, like the song said, we are hungry, we are hungry, we are hungry for more of you, and someone says, I'm sorry, you're in my pew. You've got to move. Or, do you see how she was dressed today? Or, no, you can't park there. That's where I usually park. Or, yeah, I suppose you can join our class. I suppose it's okay. You see, we are to be Jesus Christ to people here, offering the freedom that we have been given. Can we, like Jesus, dare to be different? Do we dare? Do we dare, running the risk of being called radical or too religious? Do we dare having our family say, well, yeah, that's good for them. I hope somebody got that message today, right? Do we dare to take God's word and this particular passage, do we dare to apply it to our lives? I'm going to tell you again and again and again, as long as I'm with you, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And it is a choice that you and I make every day, and sometimes every hour, whether we're going to live defeated lives, whether we're going to live sour lives, whether we're going to be critical, whether we're going to be whatever we're going to be, and isolate ourselves and not do the things we know works. We have a choice about that. And sometimes it's a hard choice because it's a heck of a lot easier to whine and moan and groan. Can we, like Jesus, dare to be different? To maybe cause a bit of a stir by not keeping a bunch of rules? Can we, will we, will you and me commit to rethink and take seriously church and do things God's way? Will we remember that people, all God's children, are more important than things and rules? Instead of saying, who me? Or why should I? Let us say, like Samuel did, here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Son. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the hope that we have, for the hope. Speak to each one of our hearts, Lord. Speak to us right now as we make decisions just between you and us, each individual. can choose today whom they're going to serve. It's not going to be shopping. It's not going to be Frappuccino. It's not going to be food. It's not going to be alcohol. It's not going to be despair. It's not going to be self-indulgence. Lord, we're coming to be filled with you, so there's no room for all the other junk food we've been trying to fill ourselves up with. So let us now say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes. Use me. Here I am. Use me, Lord. Amen.